to you by Barfoot and Thompson.
On the show today, we have two fabulous companies that for over a decade each have been working in the property space. Find out who in just a second. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening live here on Planet FM, or perhaps you've downloaded one of our podcasts, which you can grab from any of your favourite podcast site, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple and Samsung, and YouTube. Thanks to those who send us comments too. We love your feedback. You can follow us on Facebook as well at Property Matters Radio. Keep the comments coming in. Now, today in the studio, I'm joined by three fabulous gentlemen who are here representing two companies, All Clear and Oxygen Air, both of which have been running for over 10 years now and working in the property space. So from All Clear, good afternoon, Adam and Declan.
Thank you for having us.
Great. Welcome back, Adam. You're almost a frequent flyer.
I am.
Yeah, we'll get your points. And joining us for the first time from Oxygen Air, welcome Robert.
Hello, how are you?
Well, I am great. It's great to hear you here, but we seem to have a bit of a dead mic on you there. Just chat into me again.
Great to be here.
I'm going to swap you over to the other side. Something's happened to that mic today. So we'll kick off with you guys. Adam, tell us a little bit about All Clear if people don't know who you are.
Well, look, we've been in business, as you just mentioned, for over 10 years. In 2026, we celebrated our 10th birthday. And we specialise in residential compliance, property compliance. So a wide range of services, more or less nationwide now. 10 years gone rather fast.
Fantastic. And has it been your baby since day one?
Myself and Matt set the business up from day one.
Yeah.
From very much humble beginnings to something quite sizable now. So we're pretty happy with the direction of travel.
And when did you let this young man, Declan, join you?
Oh, that's a very good question. I'd say probably three. He's been with us for about 3 years now.
3 years?
I've lost track.
It's been three great years.
And what was your background before All Clear?
I actually moved from South Africa. I was doing operations management, so joined the company and the rest is history.
Fantastic. Okay. And Robert, what about you with Oxygen Air?
Yeah, so we've been going 10 years, and I've been in the business now since November when we purchased it. Prior to that, I've done funny stuff like synthetic grass in Austin, Texas, banking in London, property, all sorts of different businesses, and ventilation in New Zealand.
That's quite a mix. Quite a mix. Okay, all right. We'll unpack that as the show goes on. We'll kick it off with you, All Clear, first. So you've turned 10. Happy birthday. How did you celebrate that? Did we go out in style? Or did we have a 10th birthday like kids' party?
I think one of the things that we had that we're super conscious of is humility.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Particularly in New Zealand, humility is important. So to celebrate our 10th year, we did two things. We acknowledged our people and we acknowledged our clients. So we had a campaign that went out about a week or so ago now, and we created 10 awards for some of the biggest contributors to our success over that 10-year period.
Nice.
We've had really, really good feedback about it, because ultimately it's not about me, it's not about Matt, it's about two things. It's about our team and our clients. Those are the two most important things. Obviously there's some stuff that wraps around the outside, technology and the like, but ultimately it's those two things. But so we're celebrating those two things.
It is the Kiwi way, isn't it, not to sort of jump up and down. But I think, in this current market and marketplace, 10 years is worth celebrating. There are a lot of businesses that have gone under in that period of time.
Yeah, the statistics aren't great, particularly in that sort of 2 to 4 year period. I think the most important thing that you need to deliver in business is consistency.
Yeah. So if you look back over the last 10 years, and in that you've had some multiple governments come in as well, what has been some of the biggest changes you've seen when it comes to property compliance?
I think technology is playing such a critical part now. I'm really pleased to see growth in professionally managed property, as opposed to, ultimately we've got a pretty big part of the market that's still self-managed, and it's really pleasing to see that change. Technology plays a big part of that, because typically property managers have access to tools that DIY owners don't, and they've access to systems and processes, and it's something that they do as part of their job. So I think that's been pleasing to see. And it's been good to see that ultimately the governments, successive governments, are understanding that housing is such a critical part of our economy. And landlords who more or less largely do a great job shouldn't be victimised, particularly the good ones.
When you talk about the large volume now that is managed professionally, do you see an obvious difference in those that are managed professionally versus the private landlord?
The best way I could describe it is night and day.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Night and day.
Okay, interesting. So looking back over 10 years, what's been your biggest surprise?
One of the biggest surprises, we were chatting about this earlier actually, one of the biggest surprises that just gets me every time is the willingness for competitors to blatantly copy your systems and processes, hold them out as their own, and do it with a smile on their face. It's unbelievable. And I know that everyone says that imitation is the finest form of
flattery.
Guess what? It's not. It's quite annoying.
Yeah, because you've invested so much into that space to get there.
And you've got, you know, in business, you've got to have super high standards. You've got to be super consistent. And there's got to be substance behind what it is that you offer. A lot of these people who copy your systems and your processes, and in some cases hold them out as being the, you know, being first to market or being the leaders in the space, it's just not the case. And a quick look beneath the surface, there's just no substance. That's what probably one of the things that surprised me the most over the last 10 years, that willingness for people to rip off all your intellectual property and kind of package it up as their own. It's unbelievable.
Which goes against what I just said earlier about the humble Kiwi way then. That's sad.
It sure does.
Yeah. Is it localised, or is that something you've recognised even internationally? People are looking at what you're doing.
Internationally is a factor. I mean, obviously, we monitor our competitors pretty closely. And I know that, you've got to stay the course, right? You're doing good, your clients are happy, your standards are high, you're continuing to innovate, you've got to focus on that. But it's super frustrating.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. So kind of segues into my next question, what's a hurdle that you've had to overcome? That's obviously one of them. What other hurdles do you guys overcome?
Well, I mean, the biggest one in the last 10 years was obviously COVID. That was incredibly difficult. And I think, you know, we put the economy effectively into cardiac arrest. And as it turns out, probably, in many respects, probably wasn't the right strategy from a lockdown and vaccination programs. A lot of those stuff, you know, a lot of those decisions clearly weren't the right call. So that had a huge impact on our business. We were able to pivot really quickly, and I think we've talked about it before in a prior show. We actually became a COVID testing operator and became one of the largest COVID testing providers in the country, given our scientific background and scientific capability. So,
integrations.
And obviously the technology has been such a big part of what we do too. Property managers and property professionals rely so heavily on technology.
Yeah.
And they expect you to bring innovation every day.
It's a question I was going to ask is, you know, how have you seen technology play a part in both property management and compliance? And I guess how has that moved and changed, perhaps not even the last 10 years, but the last couple of years?
I think the good news is we're starting to see a bit more innovation in that space.
Okay.
Historically, it's been a large part of the market's been dominated by some international players, and in some cases New Zealand for them isn't probably a high priority market. I would suggest that we've now got a differing competitive landscape, which is great, because ultimately we're not going to pick favourites, but ultimately competition drives innovation, and innovation's great for the industry, particularly as we talk about trying to close that gap between professionally managed and DIY owners.
Okay, interesting. Many other companies have come and gone in this compliance space. And, you know, we talked about the start, you know, other businesses not surviving 10 years. Without sounding like an infomercial, but what is it that you think has made AllClear survive a decade?
Well, technology is a big part of it. We made the decision to build our own technology stack in 2018.
Right.
And that, you know, this comes at huge expense.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, we looked at technology products off the shelf, but nothing was right. We probably spend, I want to say, close to $1 million a year on technology. And for most businesses our size, that's just not an option. So I think that's a huge part of it. But also having really high standards when it comes to recruitment, really high standards when it comes to service consistency, giving good advice, not having any conflicts, you know, even as tempting as they may be. So many of our competitors, there's so many red flags there around that conflict. It's a real concern. So I think that a combination of all of those factors is the reason for our, you know, ongoing success.
Yep. When you talk about conflict, unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, so conflict for us looks like people doing something, having a more than the obvious reason for the service they might be providing. So, for example, in the healthy home space, that might be somebody who proposes to do a report for you and then provide all of the solutions to the problems identified in the report. And it's a bit like
your car, isn't it? Correct, yeah. Car and warrant a fitness scenario.
That's the typical scenario, right? So it's very tempting for those providers to say, hey, you know what, you need a brand new heat pump. Oh, and by the way, I can give you a quote for that. Mm, I can get you taken care of. When the simple fact is you may not need a heat pump, or you might not need one that expensive. There's just so many red flags there. I think there needs to be a separation between those who are doing the work and those who are giving the advice on what needs to be done.
And that's the same with all of our services. You know, we stay impartial, we don't offer remediation.
So Declan, in your time, you know, when it comes to compliance, what are some of the biggest mistakes or issues you've seen out there?
People doing dodgy things, not updating your reports in a timely manner. We've seen some reports come through in the 4 to 5 year mark and you're sending invoices that are but old.
So that is an interesting one, though. If I paused you there for a second, that report period is always something that's always up for debate, isn't it? You know, how if a private landlord or any landlord's listening and their property's managed and they're thinking, how often do I need to get these rechecked? What's your advice?
Well, look, so unfortunately it's not legislated. It's what we come back to as best practice. Mm-hmm. So best practice looks like every sort of 2 to 3 years. There is an argument there that the newer the property and the more straightforward the building might be, that you could probably extend that a little. But if it's an older property, perhaps, you know, let's say it's 20 to 30 years old, which is quite common for the New Zealand rental stock, or there's complications like it's coastal or it's, you know, in bush, there's an argument that you might be wanting to do it a little bit more often. But typically it's about every 2 to 3 years, because ultimately if it comes to a tribunal case, he or she who has the most recent report often comes out more.
That's the trump card.
That's the trump card.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And what we do see is, there's a lot of things that don't degrade over time that much, but there are some items that do frequently.
Okay.
So it pays to check.
Declan, I cut you off mid-sentencing. Was there other common mistakes you're seeing out there?
Just maybe not staying on top of compliance as much as what's needed. You know, compliance is pretty pivotal in what you need to be doing in the industry, so staying on top of that is always good.
And I guess if you're a private landlord listening, that, you know, that's where it's the experts are important, whether it's you guys or a professional property manager, not trying to guess it, because I mean, you look at some of those heating calculations and various other things, you know, I wasn't great at fifth form maths back in the day to try and work out some of these things. That's where you guys come in.
Yeah, for sure. So we use the Tenancy Services heating tool, and that provides, you know, really accurate results on what's needed for the space.
Okay. Now, recently I heard you speak at another event, and you've got some new areas of testing you've moved into. In your water testing.
In terms of the scientific stuff, so we've got quite a wide range of services that we offer. I think there's 10 or 11 services in the portfolio. Water testing, something we've been offering for many years. It's not a super high volume service, but it's quite seasonal, and it's certainly a bit more popular in some regions. But it is one of the scientific services that we offer, along with things like asbestos, lead-based paint, mould and moisture consulting, soil testing. So it's one of the scientific services that we offer.
So a real one-stop shop for compliance.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the consistent thing. Hey, look, we'll give you advice. And if you need to do, perhaps put in filtration systems, we can put you in touch with companies who are good at that. But we're not there to try and sell you something at the end of the process, which means that we can kind of hold our head pretty high and say, hey, we're here to give you advice, but you know, and we'll hold your hand, but we're not here to try and sell you into something you may not need.
Mm. And with those services, you know, it's often good to get a couple of quotes, so we'd give you a handful of suggestions of who to choose, and you know, you can manage it from there on.
Brilliant. All right, Robert, if we move to you, tell us about Oxygen Air. How long has it been in business? You mentioned just over 10 years.
Yes, it's our 11th year.
Yeah.
No, but like Barfoot's, we're the same regions as you are. We're in Auckland, Waikato, Bay of Plenty, Rotorua, Te Whakatane. And, you know, we're installing and servicing heat pumps and doing air conditioning across those regions. You know, we're doing all the big brands, Panasonic's, Fujitsu, the Carrier and the Mitsubishi.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing residential, commercial, all different types of properties, and particularly working with property managers and landlords.
Great. So how do you manage the workload from both private landlords or individuals and property managers to ensure you're staying on top of requests? Because I can imagine when it comes to things like heat pumps and aircon, I know what I'm like. As soon as it breaks, I want it fixed straight away.
Yeah, so it comes down to two things. You know, I agree with Declan. The first thing is systems. You've got to have the right systems. And I've got 50 awesome people who turn up every day and do a great job. So when a job comes in from a landlord or a property management company, it goes in the same system, so nothing falls through the cracks. You know, we do triage, like if someone calls us and says, my heat pump's not working in the middle of winter, a tenant's jumping through the walls, we would put them ahead of a routine service and get someone out there as soon as we can. But with the volume we get from property managers, particularly someone like Buffett and Thompson, it means we can run efficient routes by suburb, which actually helps us get to everyone faster, including that one-off panic job.
Nice. So communication, obviously, can make and break a job. I guess it's the same for All Clear as well. With your company, how do you manage the process between landlords or property managers and the tenants to make sure everything remains nice and smooth?
Yeah, communication is so important. I think it's really critical to be honest. You can't BS people. You know, and that's where most companies in our industry drop the ball. A tenant doesn't care whose fault it is or what the delay is. They just want to know someone's coming and what it's fixed. And the landlord wants to know, hey, it's been fixed. So it's really important to keep everyone in the loop. The property manager gets visibility, the tenant gets contacted, and our technicians communicate well on site. So our goal is basically leave no one wondering.
Adam, is it the same for you guys? Like you're having to, you know, ensure that communication level is up there because you'll be dealing same with property managers and tenants and coming in and out of properties. I imagine sometimes they're vacant, sometimes they're not.
Yeah, look, it's basically the same story. I think it's just bigger numbers. You know, our team typically go through anywhere from 250 to 400 sites a day across the country.
Right.
So there, and every single one of those sites, if it's not done properly, there's the opportunity to get it wrong.
Mm.
And the last thing you want to do is inconvenience a property manager or inconvenience the tenant in any way. So it's that scale, it's those numbers, it's about making sure that you've got such good systems.
Yeah, yeah. Robert, when it comes to things like heat pumps, extractor fans, ventilation, you know, are the common mistakes and assumptions that landlords are making around these products and I guess what's best for their home?
All the time. The biggest mistake everyone makes, not just landlords but everybody, is a heat pump is not a set and forget appliance. You know, it's not something you install once and never touch it again. It's like a person. You know, if you look after the person, they turn out well. If you ignore them, eventually the system will just roll over and die. So regular servicing, looking after it, keeping it clean and tidy, extends the life of it. And the second biggest problem in our industry is undersizing. People are winning bids by putting the wrong size unit in. The healthy home standards determine, hey, there's a set size for this room. That's a system that goes in. And we also have, you save a few bucks doing that, but you'll pay for it longer term because the system will run flat out and it'll cost more to operate. And the third thing is, someone knows someone who's an electrician who can put a heat pump in for them, and you know, the person's not experienced, and they put it in and they wonder why it's not working, and something breaks. Whose fault is it? Is it the electrician's, who's their mate, or is it the company that made it? And so it becomes a bargain for them, but ultimately it becomes a nightmare and costs them more. And your warranty is all up in the up in La La Land.
Mm. In my last rental property, I had someone who knew someone who knew someone who obviously installed the heat pump directly above my bed. It was going really well, nice and cool in the middle of summer. Until one day, the system that had been slowly banking up all that water but hadn't been piped anywhere decided to release at 2 a.m. on my head. And I had the Bambillo pillows and Bambillo topper. And if you've ever had bamboo get wet, it's like concrete. So at 2 a.m, not only was I soaked, but my entire bed went like concrete and so did the pillows. So yeah, I'm a great fan of getting experts in, and that landlord certainly got a few words spoken to them at the time.
I would have called 0800 80, 45, 80, and we would answer the phone and come and fix you.
Nice plug. I love how you're following the don't sound like an infomercial rule that I set. So with regulations constantly shifting, and I guess you're getting reports, like all clients' reports to look at, how are you staying on top of compliance?
Well, the hardest thing is our industry is not regulated. There's no national standard governing heat pump installation. So it's training, it's keeping our registrations current with people like Auckland Council and Build Waikato, following Building Act requirements, IQP registration. It's just keep training our guys.
Okay. And so are you relying on people like All Clear to give you that report for the size of a heat pump that should go in?
So
the
Healthy Home Standards sets out, here's how you measure a room, here's the size of the room. And we've got 60,000 houses out there, and we've measured them all pretty well. So I think the team know what they're doing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look, when you think about technology, smart home tech is huge now, and I think New Zealand's probably well behind some other parts of the world. Is this a space that your company's moving into or already working in? Have you seen some good examples out there?
Yeah, there's a sort of myth that someone wants to control a home, all the technology in a home. I don't think we're there yet. For us, it's around putting the best solution into a house, putting the right zoning in, Wi-Fi, app control, and technology. So the homeowner can then control how the system operates and train them how to operate it. The smart home thing is coming, but everything runs off one thing. I don't think we're there yet.
Okay. Are you finding more and more people want that ability, though, at work, for example, to turn on the aircon so it's set at your 18 degrees for when you get home?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my wife wants the heat pump turned on at 3 o'clock in the morning. I use my phone to do it.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. How important is regular maintenance when it comes to things like heat pumps, because it is kind of just easy to set and forget it, or how do we know when something needs a service?
Just important, there's heat pumps and there's air conditioning. Both of those are as important, with air conditioning growing. So if you don't look after your system, you think it's still blowing air, it's fine, but a dirty filter or a clogged coil will make the unit work harder. You'll use more electricity, and it will eventually strain the compressor, and eventually it packs up. You've got to clean your heat pump annually. So if you do it regularly, small issues get caught before they become a big breakdown in winter. And your warning signs that your heat pump or air conditioner is not working properly is reduced airflow, strange noises, ice forming out the unit, or your power bill creeping up. So don't wait. Do it regularly and do it annually.
So if a tenant is listening to this, what sort of tips can they do to look after it? Like, there was a time that you used to sort of flick down the cover and vacuum the filter, etc. Is that still a case?
I would still do that.
Yeah.
Get the dust out of it, clean the filters. I think every 2 years, an expert should come in and clean it. But a homeowner themselves, they can clean the dust off and get the serious bits out. But if there's big build-ups of dust and stuff in there, something is wrong. Something's generating that.
And when you think about the bigger sort of HRV-type systems in a property, is there things that an everyday tenant can do, or is that a case more of needing the experts?
Well, we're not HRV.
But those larger things.
In a previous life.
Yeah.
It's just keeping it clean. Listen for strange sounds. If you turn it on and it's not working like it used to work a month ago, something's wrong. And that, it's common, if it's not heating, hey, something's wrong. So you need to get someone to look at it. It's not one of those things you just turn off the wall and reboot it.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you both, Adam and Robert, now to think about your staff that you have, because on the show we get a lot of leadership advice, a lot of leaders listen in. What have you done over the last sort of decade in this role or previous ones to really sort of look and grow your team? How do you keep a happy team in this crazy environment?
I think culture is king.
Yeah.
I went to a leadership session a few years ago, and somebody said, culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that has stuck with me for a long, long time. And I think one of the things, and I've talked about it in prior shows, that I've had some really great bosses over the years, and I've had some really bad ones too.
And so you learn from both?
I've learned from both, trust me. And I think it's a case of, ultimately, if your hiring standards are good and you focus really closely on your culture and people know what their expectation, what's expected of them, you build a journey for them to go on, then that's probably 90% of it.
Mm.
And then just having guardrails along the way.
Yeah. And what about the training aspect in there?
Well, I mean, ultimately, the organisation of our size training, such, you know, we've got staff in training literally every day of every week.
And do you manage that yourself with your own in-house trainers?
Everything in-house.
Yeah.
Everything in-house. Just, you know, it's you know, at the beginning stages of the business, we looked at franchising and licensing. We looked at subcontract. We looked at all of those as options, but ultimately they could never give us the promise that we wanted around quality and consistency.
Okay. Robert, what about you when it comes to managing people?
I agree with the culture piece. It's really important, but to me the most important thing with your team is to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay lip service, oh, you're doing a great job. You know, it's you're only kidding yourselves and kidding them. So be direct. You know, if someone's not doing a great job, explain to them, hey, look, this is where you're falling down. This is where you need to step up. Hey, I can get you some training on this. And if someone leaves, people leave businesses. Businesses don't leave people.
Mm.
So some people shouldn't be in the business in the first place. So if someone who is bad for culture, then I'm a fan of moving them on if they can't be trained out. But the people who are there, be honest with them. Be clear with your vision and your values. And look, our first value is to be genuine. Mm. And that goes back to being honest. And if you're genuine with your team and show that you've got their best interests in heart, it's still a business to run, don't get me wrong, but if you show that you are honest with them and they know where they're at, they will die in the ditch for you. They'll work hard for you. And those who work hard for you, they will get rewarded.
Mm.
And those who do well, reward.
Nice. Adam, do you like customer survey your staff? Is there like an NPS system where you're checking in on your team from your clients?
We've got loads of systems that manage this sort of stuff. I think that you know, we do surveys. We spend a lot of money on team events and culture, and I think that as you know, that's one of the reasons why we're not only in business 10 years later, mm. but we're thriving. And I think that, again, so you know, I've seen so many people talk about the issues that you can have with the wrong type of people, mm. and how they can become quite contagious if in a business. And I think that whole recruitment piece is so critical.
Declan, now it's hard because your boss is sitting beside you, so pretending he's got a cone of silence on for a second. You know, what's it like being in the team? You know, like, describe the culture to me.
Honestly, it's fantastic. And I don't just say that because Adam's next to me. What I do like about the company is no matter who you are, what role you're playing in the business, you know where Matt and Adam's office is and you can come upstairs for a chat. What's really great for the technicians is there's regional catch-up meetings every week where they've got an opportunity to, you know, pass on their feedback, can talk about any innovation they want to bring up, and then that obviously flows on to the management meetings.
Nice. Mentioning the regions, and I guess for both of you, you're managing people well away from your office. How do you manage your fleet up and down the country of people?
Well, technology plays a big part of that,
yeah.
Obviously. We've invested, probably one of the best things we've done in recent times. Obviously, you know, we've got a huge fleet of vehicles. I think we've got almost 60 vehicles in the fleet, so it's a huge undertaking managing that. But one of the best things we did is deployed some really cool AI technology in cars. So that manages obviously the driver safety piece, which is such an incredible thing. You know, we've taken a lot of advice over the years, and the consistent feedback is the most dangerous thing our people will do is actually to get behind the wheel of a vehicle. So it's something that we take super seriously. But we've got such good systems and tools to manage. We've got an SOS button if they get themselves into trouble.
Mm.
So we've kind of built all these systems and tools to enable them to do their jobs really well, but also got those guardrails if something goes wrong.
Nice, nice. So you've built the safety element into this as well. What about you and Matt physically being able to catch up with your teams around the country? Do you find yourselves online a lot, or do you travel around?
I spend a lot of time in a seat on an Air New Zealand aircraft.
Okay,
I think we've got shares in Jetstar now too for the team, so which is nice. You know, you can do video meetings, that's great, but there's nothing like being there.
You can't read a person's full emotions until you're in front of them. Yeah.
And our Christchurch office is actually bigger than our Auckland office,
okay.
And has more people in it on a day-to-day basis. So we almost run an air bridge between Auckland and Christchurch.
Brilliant.
And, you know, Christchurch is our hub for all things client services.
So in the next 10-year plan, we're going to see the all-clear little jet up in the sky. Wouldn't that be cool?
I'm not quite sure if we're there financially.
Well, especially with today's fuel, probably
not. I don't think that matches with my humility.
No. Might throw that out there, wouldn't I? Robert, what about you managing staff that aren't just all in your Auckland office?
I think is be visible with them. You know, I was in out with Nathan, one of our sales guys in Hamilton the other day. I went on a sales call with him.
Great.
You know, the guys go, the leadership team go to the offices, have meetings in the offices. You know, we're a small leadership team, and one of us aims to be in every office every week. So if you're doing that, you build a rapport with the team. And if you're not frightened to do that and have the open discussions with the team, they will tell you what's going on, plus all the health and safety, vehicle tracking and everything.
Nice. You mentioned, you know, partnerships. So how important is partnerships with property managers, and what does that look like for you at Oxygen Air?
Oh, it's critical. You know, I see for us it's almost bread and butter in terms of you have to have it. You know, you are building a relationship, and to collectively someone is trusting you to go into their house. And, you know, with the property managers, they say, hey, can you go into this property? There's no one there. Go and measure it up for us or do an install. Mm. So you've got to have that trust level and do a good job. So I see that as a core tenet of our growth.
Nice. Adam, I looked at your 10th year anniversary sort of website pages that you had up, and you celebrate your partnerships in there. But your partnerships, you know, they're quite wide-reaching too. They're not just property management companies and things. It's been an important part of your journey.
Absolutely. I'd say that property management is still a very significant part of our business mix. You know, I'd say close to 90%. And don't get me wrong, we've got great partnerships with builders, developers, tradespeople, and the like, but property management is the largest part of our customer base for sure.
What's been your biggest learning when you look at the last 10 years? So rather than the challenges and stuff we talked about at the beginning, I guess the biggest learning that if you were to do all of this again, perhaps you set up another company, you were to do it all again, what was that one thing that you're going to go, we must take this learning into a new business?
I probably, if there was one thing, I'd probably say be a bit more aggressive. You know, the national expansion took a lot longer than I would have liked. And I think, you know, a large part of that was to do with COVID.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't able to launch into the South Island until 2020, so we've only been in the South Island for 6 years.
Right.
I would have done more sooner, and I would have been a bit more aggressive on timelines.
Okay, interesting. Robert, what about you?
There's probably three things. First thing is systems and processes beat individual heroics every time. You've got a repeatable, structured way of doing things. You know, it's a lot easier, and you've got consistency. Secondly, communication. Be open and honest. You know, keep people in the loop, particularly property managers, because the tenant will call if things aren't happening fast enough. And lastly, trust matters. You know, people invite us into their homes. You know, and it's a home is a very sacred place for a lot of people, and you're trusted to provide a solution. I mean, I have a young son, Charles. You know, I want the house to be nice for him, and it's, I think it's important that the place is warm and comfortable. If it's not, my daughter Harriet, she will she will do the same thing. She will not be happy. So, you know, you got to do what you say you're going to do. I think it's really important.
I love that acknowledgement of how sacred a home is, and you know, both your companies are going into all walks of life, up and down the country, and the good, the bad, and the ugly, I imagine, in rental homes. You know, do you train your people on how to just cope and deal with that as well, and what they might see and do?
Yeah, we've got some pretty good systems for training, which includes a whole bunch of different topics. Probably the one that we're super focused on these days is managing dogs.
Right, okay.
Particularly with the legislation that changed last year, we are encountering more of them. Mm. And the good news is the vast majority of them are pretty friendly.
Yeah.
But dogs are one of the things that the team need to manage. And we do, you know, the vast majority of the properties we go into, it's a fantastic outcome. You know, we're there to deliver something that's of value to the occupants as well as the owner and the property manager. But there are some that can be quite tricky. And it's about giving the team the tools to navigate, and also just knowing, hey, look, you know, if this isn't going to work, and not, you know, perhaps you're just not comfortable with me being here, knowing when to make that call and just leave the situation.
Nice. Declan, tell me a little bit about your role in the company. What's your day-to-day look like?
Catching up with clients and, you know, making sure everyone's happy, and, you know, there's taking on feedback that we get from all of our different clients across the country. Yeah, just making sure that things are running smoothly. And the last thing I want to do is find out about an issue that's been festering for a couple months. As soon as something happens, I should be the first.
So you're very much keeping that relationship open between the clients and the
100%.
Company?
100%. Just want to keep everyone positive and happy with the
services. So I'll ask you the same question I asked these guys. What's been your biggest learning over the last 3 years?
That everyone's different. So you need to be able to put on, you know, many different hats and understand everyone's different situation. So it's not one chief, it's what's everyone. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do you navigate that with your client? How do you sort of, I guess, tweak your service to suit everybody's different needs?
So just trying to relate to them. You know, let them speak. You know, sometimes they're not there. They don't want to hear the sales pitch. Sometimes they just want someone to speak to.
Okay. So, thinking forward now for our last sort of 5 minutes on the show, what if I was to bring you back in 10 years' time and you celebrate your 20th birthday in your company or your 22nd, where do you hope to be? What's next on the horizon for All Clear?
Well, as we said in our 10th anniversary release that we did last week, you know, if you're standing still, you're going backwards. Mm. So, there's still so much for us to do. You know, the business is bigger than me. The bigger business is bigger than any one single employee. It's job security. It has a brand. It has its own professional reputation. So if not me, then somebody else would be effectively flying that flag for many years to come. But the job's not done. So we're looking pretty closely at new services. We're looking pretty closely at new geographic regions. There might even be a different country in the mix.
Cool.
Can't comment on that any further, but. It's all potential on the radar.
Fantastic. And how do you stay on top of technology for the next 10 years? That must be a challenge.
Well, we're pretty lucky in the sense we've got in-house developers. And my background prior to starting this business was tech. So I'd like to consider myself pretty good with it.
Nice. Robert, what about you? What does the next 10 or 11 years look like for Oxygen Air?
It's a great question because it's easy to think about the now and not think in the long term. You know, first thing is development of the team, you know, identify the next level of leadership, and they will bring energy and ideas that take businesses forward. For us, it's deepening what we do well at the moment, doing it better. We're not perfect; we make mistakes, but it's important that we keep striving for excellence. You know, our vision is customer obsession. We want to grow our servicing side of the business. I see that as a great add-on to the core business. And next thing is new products. Like we have a new product called a hot water heat pump. That's a will save someone $1,100 in their power bill. You know, so let's start making that popular and pushing it out around the base, around our 60,000 customers. And then we're probably into geographical expansion.
Okay. Interesting you mentioned like the hot water heat pump, and I'm guessing for both of you, do you look internationally at what's happening around the world? Is that part of your job, is constantly researching what's happening?
Absolutely.
I think you have to see what's going on overseas, see what's popular, but don't be frightened to go, I don't think that'll work for us. And too many people, you get that energy because, hey, this looks really cool, but, you know, when you get into it and you go, I don't think it'll work. And you've got to be enthusiastic, but also you've got to have someone in your team who's frightened to say, no, that won't work. Mm-hmm. And as a CEO, you've got to listen to that.
Yeah.
And respect it.
And hope, know, in 5 years' time you don't go, damn, why did we say no?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I spoke to someone the other day who had an idea of making road cones, and they said, no, it'll never fly.
Yeah.
You know, so for us, you know, we have a leadership team where everyone has an equal voice around the table. And if you listen to everyone and respect that, you know, business will go well.
Yeah, same for you.
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, there's so much opportunity, and I think that we, as a business, you know, we're incredibly proud of what we've done, but we look to the future and with great excitement.
Brilliant. How can people get in touch with All Clear? How can they reach out to you?
Best way to get in touch with us is by visiting our website, which is allclear.nz. All of the services are available on there and all the options to reach out to one of our friendly team to chat about something anything that they might need.
Fantastic. And Oxygen Air, how can people get in touch?
Same thing. Don't go to his website, but go to our website, Oxy Air. You can book a service online or book one of our guides come and give you a free quote.
Amazing. Hey, thank you so much for giving up your time on Monday to talk about your fabulous companies. Congratulations on your 10-year-plus celebrations, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again later.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys. Have a fabulous rest of your week, everyone. If you're driving home, drive safe. And remember, you can listen to any of our podcasts from all your podcast sites. Have a great night. Take care. See you next week.